Back together again, you and I chatting it up. Brand new week, Monday style, the 11th of May, 2026 on Connecticut Today. We welcome to Sacred Heart University, Professor of Politics and Scholar in Residence, Dr. Gary Rose, to the program. He and I both separately chimed in on the big story of the day on this Monday, the latest controversy surrounding former New Britain Mayor Erin Stewart's gubernatorial campaign, centering, according to the Hartford Courant, on her use of a city-issued purchasing card or P-card for years. Connecticut News Junkie columnist and Substack.com blogger Terry Cowgill offered his thoughts on the day's major stories, including the Erin Stewart controversy, and he talked about his national column asking how much it will take to erase the name of President Trump. So I'm seeing and hearing a lot of this sort of thing on the weekend. Well, they're just out to get her. Well, she's a real threat to Ned Lamont. Well, they're going after her because she can win. Well, they know they don't want a woman to be governor. Now, all of those things, none of those things, some of those things may be true. But as you just may have heard there, top of the hour from Chris Williams on the news, and you've probably seen it all over the weekend, the numbers are there. The news is there. And the news being that former New Britain Mayor Erin Stewart, who did not attend a big debate up in Farmington last week, so she's catching some flack for that. She was previously under a microscope for apparently appealing for a pension for which, according to the New Britain city or town charter, she does not qualify for. Not enough time here. There's already stuff coming out of the tax collector's office. And now this being a really, really, really big spotlight on her use of what are called P cards, purchasing cards, or, and you've heard that through the controversy with what's going on with some colleges and stuff around the state, they are purchasing credit cards, meaning you're, depending upon the rules of the organization, they tell you one of two things: never put anything personal on these cards, or if you do, you had better pay it off chop chop and save the receipts to make sure that the organization, the city, the town, the taxpayers aren't paying for personal stuff. Now, the Hartford Courant, and I know I'm reading online, well, the Courant's just a lefty rag. Well, look, you can have your opinion as you want. This is pretty good reporting. And it's a story by Ed Mahoney, who I haven't seen in years. I got to know Ed a little bit back in the 2010 campaign cycle when I was working for a couple of campaigns there. I told you that. And in case you missed it, and in case you were hearing Chris's news today, or in case you heard Melissa this morning, or anything coming up here on the radio station, like, wait, whoa, Erin Stewart again, what's going on? Is this about the debate? She wasn't at in Farmington last week? No. Is this about the supposed request for a pension? No. Is this about the previous quote-unquote controversy in the tax collector's office while she was governor? No. This is something new. I'll give you the headline here. We'll go over this very, very slowly and deliberately today, and I really want to hear your thoughts on this. Because remember, there's a big thing sometimes in politics. If you get drip, 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 it may be your shower head like mine. I got to get a new one. Or the filter cartridge in the shower nozzle, which means I got to call a plumber again. But when you hear that or see that, that only happens to somebody that the other side is really afraid of. And not that they wouldn't be afraid of Betsy McCoy, not that they wouldn't be afraid of our friend Ryan Fazio, who was on the show last week. By the way, Betsy will be on with us tomorrow. I'll get to that coming up later on. Just got the confirmation from her campaign. I have told you that I have thought over the months that any one of the three candidates, Erin Stewart, Betsy McCoy, or Ryan Fazio, would be a refreshing break from where we are now. But I think it's clear that if you talk to people in the Lamont campaign, state Democrats, for sheerly demographic reasons and marketability, they probably fear Aaron Stewart the most. Probably. Maybe I'm wrong, but I'm guessing, assuming that they probably think Betsy McCoy will not be the nominee in the end, I will bet you a few good shekels and piastres that if you get some Democrats in the room, they would rather face Ryan Fazio. Not that Ryan is not a bright guy, brilliant guy, knows policy, but the marketability of a Republican woman who is pro-choice, to a certain extent she doesn't like what ICE is doing, that's tough. And if you put her up against Governor Lamont in a debate situation one-on-one, that's a pretty good contrast. So what are you saying, Paul, with all this? What am I saying is they've been building a file on Aaron Stewart for 2 or 3 years. They've had to be. This notion about what happened in City Hall to the tax assessor's office or what may have happened, come on, that didn't come out of a clear sky. Her request for a pension, people knew about that for months, but they kept their powder dry on it. And now this. Critics attack Aaron Stewart spending as mayor. $200,000 charged to a city card, items sent to her home. Now, you can hate and dislike any organization in the state, the TV stations, the radio stations, the Hartford Courant, Hearst, whatever, the Day of New London, I don't care. But the numbers are the numbers. Now, again, she may have a defense here. But as the Current writes, then New Britain Mayor Aaron Stewart's husband had just turned 40 in 2022. Days before, she bought gifts and party favors and paid for them with a city-issued credit card. And that's what you do when you write a story like this. You put an eyebrow raiser up top. Not razors and cup, but something that raises the eyebrows. Stewart made the purchases through her personal Amazon account, for which, as was the case with others of her online shopping accounts, her city credit card was the designated payer. On city accounting records, the purchases were listed as office supplies. They were delivered to her home. Through a public records request, the Hartford Courant has obtained nearly a decade of Stewart's city expense reports, which show that from 2016 through 2025, she charged. I'm just giving you the numbers here because a lot of you don't read the Courant, you don't go online, whatever. She charged over $207,000 to those cards or that card. The records, the Current says, reflect the purchase of all manner of goods, women's, men's, and children's clothing, a yoga mat, a salad spinner, power tools, diapers, beach and pool toys, children's toys, cosmetics, a lighted vanity mirror, bed linens, tablecloths, and home decorations. As was the case with the birthday items, most of the purchases were itemized as office supplies. Based on what he said are complaints from city employees, the new mayor, Democrat Bobby Sanchez, who replaced Aaron Stewart, says he is now investigating spending during her administration and has zeroed in on the credit card use. All right, so we will take a little step out here. We'll come back. But the number, of course, to get us, 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. Now, what does former Mayor Stewart have to say about this? We'll get to that momentarily. But I introduced the question today, and as you can imagine, it's pretty brief, pretty short, pretty straightforward. Will revelations about former New Britain Mayor Aaron Stewart's use of a city-issued credit card, will that doom her gubernatorial campaign? And I know that may be a harsh thing to say, But again, we're dealing with over $200,000 here. It's not $500. It's not $1,000. And she's pushing back on this. I'll give you some of what she had to say straight ahead. By the way, I did try to contact her press person. I did late Friday. I left him a very detailed voicemail before these revelations came out. I wanted to talk about her skipping the debate, and I have heard nada back from her camp. Respect to Aaron Stewart, who I tried to get on this program pre-convention. I don't think it's going to happen. I left a couple of messages and haven't heard back, and that's not surprising. Listen, I said earlier, if there's a perception in your campaign that you are winning or at least guaranteed of being able to take the next step, then you don't, you know, if you're ahead, you don't do anything that you think could cause you further damage. It's true on the battlefield, too. Why do you think the Russians aren't backing out of Ukraine, despite the hundreds of thousands of people killed there, likely? Because Putin perceives he's winning. Why do you think Iran is not buckling under to the rest of the Trump White House wants? Because they think in their minds they're winning. So what Aaron Stewart is doing here, and please, I am not comparing her to anybody in Russia or Iran. Don't bring that at me. But what I'm saying is, when you think you're dealing from a position of strength, not only do you not back away, you go on the offensive here. 203-333-9422-333-WICC. But do you think her campaign could be toast? It could be. It could be. I don't know. Now, again, timing is everything in life, and a lot of this, the flack for not being at the debate last week, the flack over the perceived not having knowledge of the New Britain pension system, the perceived quid pro quo, although she denies it, in the tax assessor's office. It's all planned. That stuff just doesn't happen. So again, the Hartford Courant late last week says it got nearly a decade of Aaron Stewart's expense reports, which show that for 9 years, 2016 through 2025, she charged, I'll give you the exact number, I said over $207,000, $207,076.07 to a city card, a P card, a purchasing card. Based on what he said were complaints from city employees, Mayor Bobby Sanchez, the Democrat, says he's investigating spending during her administration, and he is zeroing in on the credit card use. Stewart not backing down. She says whatever she bought with a city credit card was in the city's interest. She told the Courant, she did give the Courant some comments on this, saying, quote, "Don't forget, I was mayor of New Britain for 12 years. We had countless amounts of weekly events that happened, volunteers to feed, organizations that wanted support. All of those were activities that directly benefited our community. Every year," she continues, "we were opening the pools, providing raffle prizes for the kids who would participate in the parks and rec programming." She added, quoting her again, "there were summer camps and giveaways and food drives and church donations. Every week there were countless activities." She continues, and I just want to give you this in the prospect of being fair here. She said, quote, "when I was mayor, we were known for celebrating our employees, for creating a positive culture and climate. We were known for youth programming and activities. When we did events, it was always decorations, and it was always very welcoming of an environment. And I was always known for letting the community know that I cared, and I'm proud of that, too." Stewart says the mayor's office does have a budget for such miscellaneous expenses. She claims, she said, quote, "there's a reason you have receipts and you have all that proof, because there was nothing to hide." Quoting again, "there were receipts that were submitted and annually budgeted, and don't forget, independently audited, too." And she said for 12 years, there was never a question or a doubt raised until now, until I decided to step away and run for higher office. Before we go to the break here, city records show that of the total bill to Aaron Stewart's card, about $47,000 were Amazon purchases, $19,000 from Costco, more than $7,000 from Instacart, and about $71,000 from various other vendors. The records show that more than half the purchases were not backed up with receipts. The available receipts show that about $22,600 of what was bought was shipped to Stewart's home, $7,500 shipped to the mayor's office. All right, we'll go to the phones after the news here. What do you think here? Now, look, the reporting to me, and I've been doing this a few years, it sounds clean, it looks clean. But is this a fatal blow to her campaign? Is this all's fair in love and war? Or are all these things coming out against former Mayor Stewart because she's the one maybe that scares Democrats the most? Well, both the parties heading into their nominating conventions this coming Saturday. We'll see when the dust clears what a Republican primary looks like. And maybe if he wants to go through with it, if Josh Elliott wants to go through with it, what a Democratic Party primary may look like. Joining us right now for that and more to comment, Sacred Heart University professor of politics, scholar in residence, Dr. Gary Rose with us. Gary, good afternoon, my friend. How are you?
Doing well, Paul. Good to hear from you.
Gary, has the Sacred Heart give you a P card? Do they give you a purchasing card? And are you following the rules with it? Boy, this whole I would expect nothing less of you, Gary. And I'm not trying to employ any, you know, I'm not trying to engender any ideas here. But another day, another interesting revelation from the Hartford Current, huh?
Just getting worse and worse, I think, for her,
yeah.
Really. And I don't know how a candidate for governor could actually talk her way out of this one.
Yeah.
You know, the backdating of taxes is one thing to say you were in the dark on that, but this is personal, you know? And so this one is a lot worse, actually. Yeah.
Yeah, and obviously, Gary, look, she has been kind of a rising star in politics in this state. You know, she didn't serve one or two terms. She served 6 2-year terms. So,
yeah.
You know, Gary, sometimes, right, people in the other party say, well, all right, we know this is going on. Let's keep our powder dry because she will want to ascend to a higher office. Do you think any of that happened here or not?
Yeah, I think you're right on that. I think people probably were very aware that she was doing this. The word was out. And so I don't know if the mayor of New Britain now, Mr. Sanchez, was just lying in wait for this. I know that Aaron says that Lamont is involved in this, too. I have my doubts about that. But nevertheless, I'm sure that there were those that said, you know, this is coming. When she runs, it'll come out. And so I'm sure it was well known. It had to be, particularly, you know, the articles I read about it in terms of the amount of spending. I mean, how could people not be aware of that? So it was over $200,000, I think.
Yeah. What about her response to this, Gary? She certainly, if not just digging in, she's trying to counterpunch here. Might this still work with the folks who would hand her a party endorsement on Saturday or not?
Oh, wow. You know, I mean, her response that all the expenses were in the city's interest, that needs explanation. That really does.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and, you know, and I do wonder about, you know, now she has a running mate already and there are delegates lined up. And I'm sure many of them are rolling their eyes, wondering what's going to happen now. Are we going to be rallying and nominating somebody who's going to be mired in these problems? So I'm sure there are some delegates that are having second thoughts when they walk into that convention hall. I really do.
Yeah.
And because Fazio made a good point that this stuff is just going to keep coming out against her. What if she's the nominee against Lamont? So how does a candidate like that really survive And so I think that she's in big trouble. And I wouldn't be surprised if there are some delegates as of this moment while we're talking that are maybe bailing on her.
So where, Gary Rose, do those delegates do? Again, I don't think anybody is where do they go? I mean, again, I don't think anybody is criticizing Betsy McCoy for her intellect and her understanding of the issues. But again, she's a cable host. She's never been elected to anything, particularly on her own. She is 78 years old. No offense to that, but it is what it is. But could you see any of the Aaron Stewart delegates going to Ms. McCoy or not?
Well, it's possible. I mean, I know that I don't believe Betsy has qualified yet for public funding, so some people are probably questioning her viability as an actual candidate.
Yeah.
But I know that she speaks very well, and she comes across quite well in the media. You know, she is a news host. You know,
yeah.
I mean, she's a host on a show there, and so. But I would think if they do decide to jump ship, I think the direction would be in Fazio's campaign as opposed to Betsy. I think that's probably where there's more viability.
Yeah, the guest is Dr. Gary Rose, scholar in residence, a professor of politics, Sacred Heart University. Gary, on the Democratic side, we still don't really know, although the people I've spoken with both on and off the show have said they think if he wants to, the numbers of delegates might be there for Josh Elliott. You think he? Well, number one, do you think he has the numbers, Gary? And number two, if he does, do you think he wants to go through with that, or will he just want to throw a scare into the Lamont people?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. And he was on record as saying if he didn't qualify for public funding, that he would withdraw before the convention. And apparently he has not qualified, but he's still moving forward with his campaign. And so, you know, can Josh get 15%? I think it's possible. There are progressive Democrats that are going to be there.
Yeah.
You know, the town councils are filled with delegates, of course, and there are progressives, many progressives on those councils and those town committees and so forth. And so, you know, Democratic town committees do have a real progressive strain to them. And so I wouldn't be surprised if Josh Elliott gets 15%. I think that's very possible because there are enough progressives that are going to be at that convention that would say, yeah, let's get behind him. And it is true that a number of progressives have turned against Ned Lamont. Mm-hmm. They really have because they see him as too centrist. And so I think it's very possible. Yes.
Yeah. One final thing, Gary, on the world and on the national scene here. What about the scenario that we're starting to hear there? And I said it about a year ago. Everybody's saying, well, Mr. Trump has grown disinterested with this. We are approaching, a quagmire scenario in Iran here. What is the outlook here? Do you think there is any chance, Gary, and I've maintained this for a year, that Mr. Trump could actually, in a way, to maybe help his party walk away here after these midterms, which this whole redistricting thing here has got me nauseous? But what are your thoughts on that?
Is it possible that he would walk away from the president?
There are rumors about his health, about his mental acuity. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Oh, that's an interesting scenario. I haven't given that one much thought. He seems to really love the job of being president. So, and I think he really is very much determined to have a legacy there.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's already painting the pool of the reflecting pool blue. And, you know, you got the ballroom and you got the Arc de Triomphe that might be built.
Yeah.
There are a lot of things he has in mind for his own legacy. And so I would be surprised if the Republicans, if they do take a hit at the midterm, that he would say, well, that's it for me. I don't think so. No.
Yeah.
Because I think he really relishes the spotlight.
Yeah. And finally, Gary, this whole redistricting thing on both sides, I don't like this. I mean, you know, there are so few swing districts left that this whole thing about either solid red or solid blue, Gary, really bothers me. It really does.
Many states are now just locked in.
Yeah.
And the number of swing districts has gotten incredibly small,
mm-hmm.
very small percent. And that's really troubling to see because,
yeah.
because you would hope that you would have competitive congressional elections nationally across the board,
mm-hmm.
but it just hasn't happened. And with the gerrymandering that's been going on, and the whole polarization in American politics, so many of our states and so many of our districts have just become communities of like-minded people.
Yeah.
There's that famous book by Mr. Bishop, you know, a sociologist, about how really it's really the big sort. People are just sorting themselves
mm-hmm.
into political communities these days, and into congressional districts and into states. And they just don't want to be next to people who think differently than them. And that's unfortunate. And the end result is deep red and deep blue districts. Yeah. And I wish that there was more competition out there.
Absolutely. Gary Rose, as always, Sacred Heart University. Gary, thanks. Appreciate the time. We'll chat down the road. So, sir, be good.
Okay, Paul.
Thanks. Yep. Appreciate it right there. Dr. Gary Rose. And speaking of warmth to our hearts, he is back after a bit of an absence. Great to have Terry Cowgill here. Terry, of course, a longtime writer, columnist, opinion guy for both the Connecticut News Junkie, ctnewsjunkie.com, and substack.com, the blog Red Meat for Mushy Moderates. Mr. Cowgill, good afternoon, sir. How you been, Terry? Great to have you back.
Yeah, well, I'm better and, you know, raring to go. And there's lots to talk about, especially, you know, here in Connecticut. I've been following some of the news reports about Aaron Stewart, and I've heard your commentaries earlier. So,
yeah,
no shortage of material here.
Yeah, so what do you think of this, Terry? You've been following local politics for years and years like I have. Is this, I'll just ask it, it may be a wild thing at this point, is this a death knell for her campaign or her chances? Or is she going to gain some traction and saying, well, what do you expect? I'm gunning for the big guy. What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I don't tend to think that she can recover from this. Because this, by the way, you know, this whole thing about the expenses that Ed Mahoney, the current broke yesterday, I believe it was, or today, this was something that furthered a narrative, because already it had been reported that on the way out, she spoke to members of the new administration and tried to get arrange for a pension that she was not eligible for.
Mm-hmm.
So, that, you know, it's one thing for something to happen that's an isolated incident, and it's another thing for something to happen that furthers a narrative, you know, and this kind of furthers a narrative, and most people can really relate to this. I mean, I told my wife the other day, you know, when I was a development director at a private school, I used to travel on business, and, you know, they give me a company credit card,
sure.
and they'd usually give me an envelope with some petty cash in it.
Yeah.
And one time I wanted to buy a newspaper in the morning.
Yeah.
And all I had for my own money was a 50.
Yeah.
Right. So I thought, well, I'll spend 75 cents of the school's money on a newspaper and I'll reimburse it or something.
Yeah.
And then I get back.
Yeah.
And I file my expense report, and the business manager says, you spent $75 on a newspaper of our money, you know? And I'm thinking to myself, my God, it was 75 cents.
That wasn't a joke? They were seriously mad at you?
Well, she didn't shout at me. I was exaggerating. But she did say, well, what are you know, we're not paying for this. You know, I'm thinking, my goodness. And this is, you know, we're talking about, what, a couple $100,000, I
believe?
Over nine years. And it's, you know, she used the city's account, and the credit card that was tied to it was the city account. And, you know, there's all of this stuff that you just can't justify buying for the city. And I don't know how she gets beyond this. And as for, you know, people doing this to sabotage her campaign, Democrats, in other words, but if I were, I mean, put yourself in the Democrat position, and I'm not a Democrat, but if I were and I wanted to sabotage her campaign, I would wait until she had the nomination.
Ah.
And then in October, when she's the nominee and she has to go face-to-face with Lamont, spring it like an October surprise, and then she wouldn't even have time to adequately respond to it. I mean, that's what I would do.
You know, Terry, I never thought of that, and I've been around politics a lot, and as they say, yes, timing is everything. Why do this now? So that tells me, Terry, if this was, and I'll use air quotes here, an inside job, maybe somebody was tipped off. Yeah, I mean, I guess there's a plan, you know, in her campaign. Maybe after the convention, she sits down and then she starts talking to whatever microphone or pen and paper or digital recorder she can, because she's got time to try and rehab herself here.
Yeah. I don't see how she gets past this. And it would be one thing if they had no other good candidates, like it was just her and Betsy McCoy running.
Yeah.
You know, you might be able to say, well, maybe we could patch up Aaron and put her before the voters.
Yeah.
But when you got a guy like Ryan Fazio, who I think is a pretty capable fellow.
Yeah.
And doesn't carry around this kind of baggage. And frankly, I think is a lot smarter than Aaron Stewart and much better educated and knows the state government a lot better, being a state senator as he has been. It seems to me that, you know, they've got a good candidate waiting there if he pulls out, and they can coalesce around him. So the whole thing, I just don't see how she survives it.
Interesting. Terry, let's get to your, well, you know what, one more quick thing in 30 seconds or so before we get to your national piece here on Substack. Even if it is, I doubt it'll be Betsy McCoy, but even if it is Aaron Stewart and or Ryan Fazio, part of a chance they may have here, Terry, in just a few seconds here on this one, the contrast of images, if they're up on a debate stage, I think that works in the favor slightly of the GOP. What do you think?
The contrast with Lamont?
Yeah, the age difference, kind of a new era of leader. What do you think?
Yeah, I totally agree. That would be the optics part of it. But as I've said before, third terms for governor don't work well. They didn't work for either Cuomo.
Yeah.
They didn't work for Mayor Bloomberg.
Yeah.
And Michael Dukakis, third term, was also a disaster in Massachusetts. It just doesn't work well, and I don't know why he's running. Maybe he's going to be bored or something. I'm not sure what it is. He doesn't need the money because, you know, he makes a lot more money than they would ever make as governor.
Yeah.
So, just go quietly into the sunset and let somebody else take over.
Yeah.
That would be my advice to the governor, but it's too late.
Speaking of going quietly into the sunset, your new piece here at Substack.com. Red meat from mushy moderates. What will it cost to erase his name? And you're fretting here, Terry, that even in your mind, after Mr. Trump leaves, which I think will be before the end of his term, I've said that for about a year and a half now, his name is going to be on a lot of stuff, and that doesn't really make you happy.
Well, it doesn't, because, you know, we're always talking about being fiscally conservative, and Republicans and conservatives are supposed to be that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to cost a lot to undo his presidency, just in terms of the naming of buildings and institutions. You know, we have the JFK Trump Center now. You have the Trump Peace Agency. Yeah. You have all these banners that he's put up over federal agencies. He's going to put his signature on paper currency, national park passes, commemorative coins. The list goes on and on. Of course, the ballroom.
Yeah.
We don't know if that's going to be named after him, but I think it's a pretty good bet that, he said taxpayers were not going to pay for it. Now they are. He said he's not going to put his name on, but I bet they will. But what is, you know, how much is it going to cost? I haven't seen any good estimates, but, rebranding the Department of Defense to the Department of War has been estimated to cost as much as $2 billion. So, I mean, imagine how much it's going to cost to undo all of this stuff. And I don't know how you can justify it, even if you love the guy. Really look at it and tell me that this is responsible. No way.
The name of this piece, Terry's referring to what will it cost to erase his name from our institutions, like Mr. Trump or not. It's a worthy read, red meat for mushy moderates on Substack.com. Read Terry as well. Like him or not, agree or not, yeah. Why not? That's good stimulation there at the ConnecticutNewsJunkie.com.
And the sub headline uses one of the seven words.
Yeah,
that you can't radio.
I had to look at that two or three times. I'm like, did he put that? Yes, he did. He being Terry Collins.
Great word, by the way.
It is.
I'm gonna
have to add that to my vocabulary. Terry, good to have you back, and we'll chat down the road. Thank you, sir.
All right, thanks.
All right, Terry Cowgill, there you have it. One of my my center left, I guess you could say, progressive contributors here, because we love everybody right here on Connecticut Today on WICC.